Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij deze aflevering van Hour of Power. Als je de slaap nog niet helemaal uit je ogen hebt gewreven of nog niet helemaal wakker bent, vergeet het niet, het is vandaag Vaderdag. Dus denk aan alle vaders in welk verband dan ook. We hebben een prachtige uitzending en dat zeg ik met volle overtuiging, want zometeen spreekt in de Crystal Cathedral Neke Vukovic, de man zonder armen en benen. De man die zegt, ik ken geen beperkingen. En hij spreekt over een thema wat op Vaderdag zo geweldig belangrijk is. Jezus zegt, ik ben de goede herder. Ik ga met je mee, hoe je leven ook in elkaar steekt. En daarover praat ik met Peter Bloemen. Een succesvolle bankier die alles had. Grote auto's, geld, macht. En op een gegeven moment alles kwijtraakte. Op de bodem van zijn bestaan terechtkwam. En daar iets vond wat hij nooit meer kan verliezen. En hij praat daar zo meteen over. En dan hebben we een jonge vrouw die geweldig werk doet in Amerika. Toen ze 9 jaar was, vermoordde haar vader haar moeder. En sinds die tijd vangt ze gefrustreerde, getraumatiseerde kinderen op. En dat doet ze op een bijzondere manier, namelijk op haar ranch met paarden. En dan hebben we Bridget Bentley. Ze zong ooit in die prachtige film The Color Purple, een schitterend lied. En dat zingt ze ook nu in de Crystal Cathedral. En een beroemde tenor die regelmatig optreedt in de Carnegie Hall in New York, laat zich van zijn beste kant horen. Kortom, een bijzondere uitzending van Hour of Power. Iedereen heel hartelijk welkom op deze Vaderdag.
Good morning. You have picked a good day to come to church. Congratulations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought us to this place, and we ask, Lord, that you would be lifted up and glorified, and we're so thankful for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now please hear these words of Jesus from the Gospel of John. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you.
morning, it is my honor to welcome back to the Hour of Power Kim Meador. Kim is from Bend, Oregon, where she and her husband Troy run the Crystal Parks Youth Ranch. They started the ranch in 1995 with the sole purpose of being a powerful influence in the lives of disadvantaged children and youth. This unique nonprofit organization rescues abused and abandoned horses and nurtures them back to health. At the same time, she matches children and youth who are also broken, matches them with the horses, and dreams are born. Kim has received many distinguished awards, including the Jefferson Award and the National Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis Award for the great public service that she has done. Please welcome with me warmly Kim Meador.
Hi, Kim. Thank you. It's good to be back.
How did you, Kim, come to a place where you thought, this is what the Lord wants me to do? I mean, clearly it was. You've been succeeding in what you're doing. You're changing lives. But how did you get to where you are?
Someone did it for me, and my life was saved. And at a very early age, I learned the truth of what verses like 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, where God says, I'm going to comfort you in your time of need. Yeah. So when others go through something similar, you can give them the same comfort I have given you.
Yeah.
Your pain has a purpose when it's given to God. And I learned that when I was 9.
Tell me about that. I mean, was it a horse? Or was it something like this, or what?
Yes. I learned that at 9 years of age when someone was trying to hug me and they were just crying out of control. And I remember thinking, I don't want to hear what's going to come out of your mouth. And this woman was just streaming in tears. And finally she said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Your dad has just murdered your mother. I'm so sorry. And I just popped off of her chest and ran out the back door in this 9-year-old's effort to outrun the unthinkable. My dad would never do that. And I ran and ran until I just fell down in the dirt and just started screaming, Jesus, help me. Will you help me?
What happened? I mean, don't tell me about your... I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, I'm sure you didn't either, but how did your life... I mean, as a 9-year-old, what happened? I mean, what happened then?
What I can tell you with certainty is that at that time, I'd only been to church like twice in my life. I didn't even know who Jesus was.
And yet you were saying Jesus.
Yes. Wow. And when our life is being crushed, we intuitively know to go to the one who made us. Mm-hmm. And I cried out to the Lord, and what I now know is the Lord of all creation came down and knelt in the dirt beside a breaking child and took the hands that were reaching out to him, and he has never let go. And in the season that followed, I opted not to go to my parents' funeral. I got on a horse and was going to gallop away and never come back because I lost everything. And in my effort to run away, I ran right into the arms of the mercy of Jesus Christ. And between his love for me and the friendship of a little horse, my life was saved.
Amazing.
Not long ago, I was working on the ranch, and this group of girls were coming, and they were flunking out of school, and it was an incentive program. Bring your grades up, and we'll go ahead and take you to this ranch. And as they were walking up the hill, I could see one of these girls, and she was so small. She looked like she was 10, and I found out she was 16. Beautiful Hispanic, beautiful brown skin, dark hair and eyes. And what I noticed beyond her beauty was her brokenness, just emanating sorrow. And I thought, I want to work with you because I see me in you. I have been you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you see yourself in these kids.
Yes.
I can't think of that. Yeah.
And so I brought her over, and our job to do before we were to ride was needed to be something very nurturing. She was so fragile in her grief. And so I brought out this little Palomino horse, tiny, unassuming girl, and we're standing side by side brushing. And I just wanted to build this little bridge of hope and of trust and started to ask her some questions. You know, you lived in the area long? Mm-mm. You lived with your mom and your dad? Mm-mm. And she said, I used to live with my mom, but we got in a bad fight and she kicked me out of the house. And so I went to live with my friends, and it was good for a while until her husband tried to have sex with me, and I knew that was wrong, so I left. And the family that I'm staying with now, they don't want me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I remember just blurting out the first thing that came to my mind is, honey, what about your dad? Can you go live with your dad? And at the mention of her father, I saw her have a physical response that just seemed to come up through the ground and out through her hands. And she steadied herself by putting her hands on the back of this horse. And I was just looking down at her watching, and at this point she has not looked at me yet. And I could see her lips start to shake and little nostrils start to flare, and tears were very close. And for the first time she looked up at me to see if I saw. I was looking down, and I had. And she had been discovered, her pain. And this girl who was suffering in plain sight was discovered, and she just crumpled right in front of me, just streaming silent tears and gathering on her chin and just falling off into the dirt below. And all I could think of is, Jesus, how many tears have fallen that nobody knew and nobody saw. And Lord, will you give me wisdom for what's coming out of her mouth next, because it's going to be big.
Mm-hmm. What came out?
You know, I just put my hand on her back and I didn't say a word. And finally, she took a deep breath and gathered herself and said, well, last year my grandmother and all my brothers and my father were all murdered. And so I can't stay with him either, and I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know where I'm going to go or what I can do. And I remember feeling like I'd been punched in the face. God, what do I say? I don't know what to say to comfort her. Mm-hmm. And just hearing the unmistakable voice of my Jesus saying, oh, my beloved, yes, you do. You tell her what I have done for you. And I just gave her a hug and said, oh, Angela, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But I'm so proud of you for your courage to come. And I'm so glad you're with me, because I'm pretty sure I can say, out of the 100 people on the ranch today, I'm the only one who genuinely knows how you feel. Look at my face. You're going to be okay. Do you want to know how I know? And if a look could have been an action, she was on her knees begging, I beg you, throw me that life ring. I just need to know that I'm going to be okay and that I'm going to make it. And I said that, honey, when my parents died, I cried out to the only one who could save me. I cried out to Jesus Christ. And what I know is that he came and he's taken my hand and he's never let go, and he's with me now. And he promises in his word in Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and he's as near as your lips and your heart. And if you speak his name with your lips and believe in your heart that he is Lord, you will be saved. And she just collapsed against me in this rush of that redemptive release and just cried and cried and cried. It was like watching the redemption and the love of Jesus just overwhelm her dam of fear and doubt and grief and sorrow and just wash it all away. Mm-hmm. We talked and talked until the end of the day, and she hugged me and she cried and said, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. I have ideas that I'm going to check into, and I feel better. I have hope. And hugged her tight, kissed both of her beautiful cheeks, and then I had to let her go. Watched her walk all the way down the hill, and until just when she started to walk out of sight, she turned around and gave me the only gift a broken-hearted child can give, a beautiful smile of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And she had found the same redemption that I had found, Jesus Christ in the presence of a horse.
Unbelievable story. It's just incredible what God is doing in your ministry there. You know, there are people here, millions of people watching on television, who some of them are children that are going through some of these things.
Yes.
Others are adults like you who are still carrying that wound from their childhood.
Yes.
Can we just take a moment? I mean, this is the end of your interview, I suppose, but can we take a moment and you lead us in a prayer for these children and all of these people that are suffering? And if you're watching on television and this is you, allow this prayer to touch your heart. And if you're here too, and this was a wound that you have, allow the Holy Spirit to heal this wound. Kim, would you lead us in a prayer?
Jesus, 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 will you come? You are reaching out to the broken right now, and you are calling them by name. I pray that right now, wherever they are, in this room, in their kitchen, in their office, outside on a tractor, if your heart is broken and you need help, that they would call on the name above all names, that they would call on the name of Jesus Christ, and that you would come and that you would take them by the hand and scoop them into your arms, and that they would know you. These things we ask by the power of your beautiful name. To you be the glory forever, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kim, so much for coming and blessing all these people. We're so glad that you came. And maybe we can give her a hand and thank her for all that she's doing. We're so grateful.
Kind words so carelessly spoken, for selfish choices we have made, for sacred vows that end up broken, hear our cry, Kyrie, for seeing thee yet standing still, while starving souls are unfulfilled. Our hands must be a healing touch, for you have blessed us with so gods of our own creation, while truth and virtue seem passé, we seek your grace but lack dedication. Oh, hear our cry, Kyrie, and we honor choice but not a life, and argue different shades of gray, while truth and righteousness are lost. We see great need, and yet we walk away. Thank you.
The Hour of Power stays on the air because people like you are willing to make monthly contributions, gifts that will keep this ministry alive. This ministry does not have some multi-millionaire giving billions of dollars to this program. It's because ordinary people like you, people like me, send in a check on a regular basis. So, will you do it? I mean, if you are blessed by this program, and more important, if you want to see this program bless other people, be a faithful giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
Wat doe je als je ogenschijnlijk alles hebt? Je bent als jongen in de kerk grootgebracht, maar uiteindelijk word je banger voor God dan voor de duivel. Je rijdt in een grote auto, je werkt bij een bank, je krijgt bonussen en het lijkt je allemaal voor de wind te gaan. Je hebt een bloeiend bestaan, totdat alles in elkaar stort en je niks meer overhoudt. Met een burn-out ergens in een huis in België zit en eigenlijk dan denkt, wie ben ik nog en wat ben ik nog waard? Ik denk dat best wel veel mensen zich herkennen in het beeld van de man die ik nu ga interviewen, Peter de Bloemen, en die een bewogen levensverhaal heeft nu op Vaderdag. Peter, goedemorgen. Ja, alles ging goed met je, hè? Als jonge vent.
Het leek heel goed te gaan, Jan. Ja, ik had bijna alles. Succes, geld, bonussen, dikke auto en zelfs een titel. MBA. Tot ik, ja inderdaad, het gevoel kreeg in 2011 dat ik mijn ziel aan het verkopen was. En in de salesfunctie waar ik in werkte, ja, steeds minder voldoening en bevrediging vond. En iedere keer dat ik veel geld verdiende, toch het gevoel had van, is dit alles? Ik trok het niet meer en ik kreeg een burn-out. Mijn relatie strandde, ik was niet getrouwd. Dat was een van mijn uitgangspunten. Niet trouwen, speel op safe.
Onze ontmoeting is eigenlijk heel toevallig, want je stuurde me via LinkedIn een bericht. Joh, weet je wat er met mij gebeurd is? Ik ken je van heel vroeger, toen je nog een juppie was, een succesvolle bankondernemer.
Ja, ik had alle uiterlijkheden die je mag verwachten bij een succesvolle baan, succesvolle auto. Maar ik liep totaal vast. En een van de uitspraken die ik kreeg was tijdens een seminar voor een dikke 150 van die succesvolle mensen. Succesvol zoals ik toen in die tijd in mijn vel zat. En er was een uitspraak van Harry Starre, de inmiddels met pensioen gegaan, de directeur van het studiecentrum De Baak. En die zei, vroeg aan een zaal, wie heeft hier zijn MBA? En ik denk zo ongeveer de helft van de mensen stak zijn arm op. En ik was er één van, want ik heb ook mijn MBA. Tot hij vroeg, weet je eigenlijk wat de echte betekenis van het begrip MBA is? En hij gaf toen de uitleg, Master in Blind Ambition. Nou, in mijn situatie, ik was al zinkende en al mijn zekerheden, mijn schijnzekerheden waar ik me aan vast had geklampt, begonnen af te brokkelen. En toen hij zei Master in Blind Ambition, was dat voor mij ja, een voltreffer midscheeps. En ik was aan het zinken.
Het is bijzonder dat je uit een zeer gelovig gezin komt. Dat je als jongetje bent opgegroeid met de kerk, met de Bijbel, met zeer gelovige ouders. En dat je dat allemaal hebt losgelaten.
Ik durfde niet op God te vertrouwen. En inderdaad, ik kom uit een christelijk gereformeerde achtergrond. Ik denk dat daar een belangrijke factor in is het vaderbeeld wat ik had van mijn eigen vader. En ook van God, de Vader.
Wat was dat?
Dat was toch minder barmhartig. En meer naar de strenge kant. Naar de kant van straf, boete, zonde. En ja, daar was maar, laten we zeggen, weinig ruimte voor licht, voor ruimte en voor genade en voor Gods liefde.
Maar het lijkt wel op of je God wel loslaat, maar God jou nooit loslaat. Want ergens blijft er toch altijd dat zoeken zitten.
Je gaat nadenken dat al die toevalligheden die in je leven gebeurd zijn, van ontmoetingen op straat, van evangelische christenen die we bij een winkelcentrum staande hielden en mij vroegen, waarom besta je? Waarom leef je? Wat is het doel van je leven? En mijn antwoord was, ik heb geen flauw idee. Maar ik me realiseerde dat met mijn afkomst, ja, zoals het verhaal van de verloren zoon, ik ben me beginnen te realiseren, dat ik keek naar de voederbakken van goud, maar dat ze steeds leger waren en dat ik eigenlijk realiseerde, het lijkt goud, maar het is plat goud en er zit niks in.
Je komt dan in een ongelooflijke moeilijke fase terecht. Eigenlijk alles om je heen is weggevallen. Je raakt je baan kwijt, je raakt je mooie auto kwijt, je raakt alles kwijt, zei je.
Ja.
Zo de kroon.
Ik zat met lege handen in mijn luxe appartement in België. De eerste tijd heb ik dagenlang geslapen en krabbel je weer op en ben je nog steeds hondsmoe, leeg, totaal futloos.
Was je emotioneel? Kon je huilen?
Ik ben steeds emotioneler geworden. En ik heb het afgelopen jaar, 2012, heel veel zakdoeken versleten. Ja.
Waarom?
Ik kwam in mijn lege appartement de puinhoop tegen van een vorige relatie. Een Limburgse vrouw die er voor een studiegenoot vandoor was gegaan. En ik kwam mijn eigen pijn en puinhoop tegen. En in een aantal verhuisdozen waar allerlei spullen in zaten, kwam ik ook tegen een aantal boeken die ik jarenlang, echt 20, 7, 28 jaar lang niet heb kunnen lezen. Eén daarvan was de Bijbel. En een ander boek was het boekje Dichter bij Jezus van David de Vos.
Ja, die heeft hier ook op de bank gezeten.
Ik weet het, het was echt een boekje wat ik al jaren geleden van mijn oudste zus heb gekregen. Zij is christen en ja, zij heeft jarenlang ook voor mij gebeden. Nooit gerealiseerd, nooit durven, nooit willen en nooit kunnen geloven. En dat boekje waar ik altijd weerstand tegen had, ik kon het niet lezen, ben ik gaan lezen. En ik ben inderdaad op mijn knieën gegaan, met mijn lege handen.
Op je knieën of door je knieën?
Beide, door mijn knieën, dat was ik al. En op mijn knieën, op de grond, met lege handen.
Wat zeg je dan tegen God? Ik heb er een puinhoop van gemaakt. Of help me, of wat roep je?
Ik heb alles gezocht in het leven. Maar ik was blind. En God heeft me stilgezet. En ik heb mijn zonde beleden. Ja. Want de 10 geboden, nou ja, zijn eigenlijk de 10 woorden van God. Eigenlijk zegt God van, ik ben de Heer, uw God. En als je dat erkent en weet dat Hij liefde is, dan wil je niet zondigen. Hè? Dan ga je niet je doel missen. Maar ja, ik heb mijn zonde beleden. Ja. En dat waren er heel veel.
Maar nu heb je, denk ik, een geestelijk rijk leven. Een heel ander leven dan leven met geld, toch?
Ik heb ontdekt dat het niet gaat over de kwantiteit of je veel hebt. Ik heb geleefd alsof mijn laatste hemd zakken zou hebben. En ik spreek op dit moment nog steeds oud-collega's van Robeco, van Rabo, van andere partijen. En die zijn geïnteresseerd. En het is verwonderlijk om te merken dat ze zich realiseren dat ze succes hebben, maar tegelijkertijd voelen, er mist iets, er is een leegte. Wat Blaise Pascal noemt, there's a void in human mankind. En die void, die leegte, ja, die realiseren mensen zich.
Ben je God dankbaar dat hij jou uit het vuur heeft gerukt?
Ik ben verwonderd en enorm dankbaar. En ik ben zelfs dankbaar, het klinkt misschien gek, voor die burn-out die nodig was om mij een ander vaderbeeld te geven. Van huis uit streng. En nu weet ik dat ik een barmhartige vader heb. Waardoor ik mijn angsten, waardoor ik mijn ego en mijn pijn en mijn zelfzucht, mijn geldzucht kan loslaten. Ik denk dat God mij vrijmoedigheid wil en kan geven om net zo vrijmoedig te zijn om te getuigen van Hem, als dat ik vrijmoedig ben geweest om Hem niet te zoeken of om allerlei andere dingen voor mezelf te doen. Mijn succes na te jagen, mijn status, mijn titel, mijn succes. En ik ben dankbaar en het was nodig dat het allemaal uit mijn handen geslagen werd.
Je ging ook naar Hour of Power kijken, je gaat waarschijnlijk naar de kerk. Wat deed Hour of Power hier?
Hour of Power waren ook een aantal van die lichtpunten, van die lichtstralen in mijn duisternis, eigenlijk in mijn blindheid moet ik zeggen. En het gebeurde dat mijn oudste zus bij tijd en wijle in een telefoontje of in een mailtje even iets naar me stuurde van, Peet, je moet eens een keer kijken naar die en die uitzending, want dat is toch echt een bijzondere uitzending. En op die manier heb ik inderdaad Henry Nouwen ik weet niet hoe die heet, maar die dominee zonder handen of met één heel klein voetje.
Ja, ik ga je zeggen, die zit zo meteen in de uitzending. En je krijgt ook zo meteen zijn boek. Dus dat wist je niet.
Nee, dat wist ik
want
niet.
Want interviews gaan hier altijd spontaan. Ik praat het nooit van tevoren door. Ik wil het hart van mensen ontmoeten. Dus dat komt zo meteen. Is dat niet wonderlijk?
Nou ja, ik geloof niet in toeval. Niet meer.
Nee.
Ik heb me lang vastgeklampt aan toeval.
Ja.
En nu weet ik dat het anders ligt. Ik heb niet zoveel geld meer op dit moment. Maar ik weet dat ik rijk ben in de hemel.
Oké. Ja. Heel bijzonder dat jij over Nick begon. De man zonder armen en benen die zulke bijzondere verhalen heeft. Zijn nieuwe boek is uit, Niet te stoppen. Het is een fantastisch boek. Hij is getrouwd. Hij heeft net een baby gekregen een paar maanden geleden. En wat je ook van mij krijgt is ons vaderdaggeschenk. Ik vind dat zo mooi. Edwin van Eyck heeft dat gemaakt. Kijken van Out of Power. Staat op. En dat is wel een hele mooie. Hè? Nadenken. De Heer is mijn herder. Ik ontbreek niet. Dus daar gaat Nick over spreken.
Hartelijk dank.
Oké. Dankjewel Peter.
Dankjewel.
Zegen in je leven. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. Waar Bridget Bentley zingt over Gods trouw. En daar hebben we net alles van gehoord.
Every word that he promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. 'Cause he's been faithful. See, when I look back over my life, all I see is his grace and mercy following me. There were times when I questioned, I even failed to believe, but still God was faithful. He was so faithful. In those times I looked away, all of those times that I could not pray, even then God was so faithful to me. Yes, in those times I so selfishly I was reaching out to what pleased only me.
We all love that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I want to talk about how God, in His voice to us, if we listen to His voice, if we're obedient to Him, if we walk in the steps that God has clearly shared in Scriptures and the Gospel, and if we believe not just what we hear from people's descriptions or summaries or even interpretation of Scriptures, if we ourselves look into the Scriptures and we have our heart right according to Scriptures, we know that our hope is not alone in anything else but the Word of God and Jesus Christ, then we would be blessed. Then, even in the most difficult circumstances, where you have to be forced to be carried around the corner, there are some people who give up because they don't have the strength to walk around the corner. And if you never go around the corner, then you'll never know what God has around the corner. But the beautiful thing about today is not putting our hope in what's around the corner. The hope is in knowing the touch of God's hand, of God's mercies, of God's grace and blessing as we are obedient in righteousness. Getting to know His touch as He carries us to tomorrow through today. Amen. Whether it be in families, with financial situations, or marriages, or broken homes, we all need God. And it is the greatest pinnacle of my relationship with the Lord when I'm broken, in the sense of knowing that I cannot rely on my own intelligence, I cannot rely on my own skill, I cannot rely on anybody else but the promises of God. When you are in that state, that is when you can live a life without limits. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." Isn't it wonderful that at least that when we sometimes feel that what's happening, the world around us or the walls around us seem to crumble, that's when you're like, oh, wow. I'm humbled. Sometimes God's lead His, He lets us as His sheep, Him being our master shepherd, He lets us realize that, hey, we really need to listen to His voice every single day. So when we are humbled, when we are broken, take that as an opportunity to press your ear against the heartbeat of our Father, to hear His voice and not any other things. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What can I fix up in my life today? Lord, convict me, as David says, "Lord, search me, O God, and test me. If there be any wicked way in me, please, please convict me and bring me to that light everlasting, in that grace and that forgiveness and that repentance." Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing same kind of sufferings. Do you know that there are brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for their faith? Whose husbands and wives are getting killed because of their faith. Know that we are not alone and we need each other. We need to uplift this message of hope around the world, to know that we are one. The body of Christ is one, and together we can hold each other. We can uplift each other. We can support each other. We can encourage each other. The greatest thing, how? In prayer. In humility. In saying, brother, here is my problem. I just want you to pray for me. Or going up to a brother and forgetting your own needs and saying, how can I carry you through your storm? How can I help you today? Even though the thunder is rolling, and even though the lightning is crashing and it's striking down things that we thought would never be touchable, the Lord has prompted me to say, brother, how are you? Because I know that, yes, I've got a world of pain, and then I look at you and your smile, and I got to understand, though, that you're going through persecution as well. You're going through trials as well. Your family is going through pain as well. That is the wonderful blessing that we are reading here as well, to hold each other up, knowing that we're all going through something. But our hope is not in our capacity. Our hope is not in finances. Our hope is not in something, but the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth for China, the truth for the Middle East, the truth for orphans in Africa, the truth for sex slaves in Mumbai who've been kidnapped at age 10, bought for $700 US. That's the difference between the message of Jesus Christ and His gospel than anything else. Not just positive messages, not just more intellectual things, not just working out how can I get this or how can I get that. Getting more knowledge about good and evil, getting more knowledge about this or that. It's not about the knowledge. It's about the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it's preached with no more addition or no more subtraction, in its pure form, you can live in the power of Jesus Christ. And that's why they still have peace. And I want you to know today, this last verse, and the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. Suffering's not foreign to Peter, Timothy, Apostle Paul, Job. After you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now here's the wonderful thing. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. All the glory, all the honor to Him. Why? Everything could change for this ministry in one day. Everything can change in your life in one day. In this next second, God could give me arms and legs. And the wonderful thing about suffering and uncertainty is if you do trust in the Lord with all your heart, He knows how much your heart can bear. God's grace is sufficient. That is the wonderful thing about living life without limits with God. Because there are no limits to His grace. There are no limits to His mercy. There are no limits as to what God can do when you come to Him with full repentance, and you say, God, this is you, right here, right now, forever, I am yours. Help me to do what you want me to do. Many of us maybe have come to that place where you have said, yes, absolutely, God, come into my life and help me to know what your will is. As a child, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, I remember my childhood. And I remember my grandfather still telling me what he's saying today. Both of my grandfathers were persecuted for their faith in Eastern Europe back in 1950s and 1960s. They were persecuted for not picking up a gun. They were persecuted for standing on their faith in Jesus Christ. My last blood grandparent is my mum's father, who's alive and is 94 down in Australia. And when I was a teenager, I didn't work out, you know, why my grandfather would come all the way 1,000 miles away to come visit me and my family while I was still in Australia, but not spend much time with me. And I soon realized what he was doing behind the scenes. He was reading his Bible 5 hours a day. And I came up to him one day before he really got sick, and he's really not that well right now. But before he got really sick, I asked him while he could still speak, what is one piece of advice that you can give me? And that was the same question I asked my dad's dad before he also passed away and went with the Lord. My dad's dad said, believe. Believe, number one. And secondly, be disciplined. My mom's father said this, don't add or subtract from the gospel. And in its purest form, as little kids, I did the funniest thing today. I never thought I'd do this. I bought a little kid's album today on my iTunes. Little kids singing praise songs. I encourage you to do that. It's wonderful worship. But let's come to the simplicity of even the Psalms that we remember. Come to Him like a child. And read over yourself this Psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord in a little while, forever and ever and ever in a little while. Amen. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. I was thinking, that word makes. He makes me. He makes me lie down. Sometimes when the walls crumble around you, you sort of stop, don't you? Sort of reflect. Sort of put you in a position where you sort of have to. Sort of stop and think just a little bit. Let that be a message for all of us today. To stop every day and lie down with joy. Joy not because of tomorrow, not because you're going to learn something in a book. Joy because of who Jesus is and how much He loves you and the world. I personally believe we're about to embark on a huge breakthrough in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You let us go through different fires and tribulations. So not only, Lord God, does the character of our faith build us up and that we're strong and firm, but Lord God, in suffering for a little while, whatever that may be, even dying of cancer, even losing a loved one. Lord God, help us to cling to You like never before. Use us, comfort us, strengthen us, and help us get back to the basics. It's not about a book. It's not about more knowledge about business strategy or anything else. But Lord, convict us of any wrongdoings that You may forgive us and heal our land. Thank You, God, for guiding us, comforting us, and strengthening us one day at a time. Lord, there is not one broken heart, one broken piece of our lives that You cannot use. Thank You, God, that we can have joy today, not in opportunity in tomorrow, but joy today in knowing that there is no name above the name of Jesus, that we can have all freedom, liberty, peace, comfort, and joy. in knowing you and seeing you work in our lives. Bring to us the power and ability and the grace to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Geweldig, wat een verhaal van Nick, niet te stoppen. En hoe die spreekt over de goede herder en daarbij zegt, mij ontbreekt niets, terwijl hij geen armen en geen benen heeft. Nou, dat is lef hebben, maar hij heeft dat contact waar we over gehoord hebben in deze uitzending. Niet te stoppen is ook de titel van zijn nieuwe boek. Echt supergoed, en als je dat wilt lezen, kijk even op onze website www.hourofpower.nl hoe je dit boek kunt bestellen. Afgelopen week kwamen vele tientallen Hour of Power kijkers terug uit Amerika van een bijzondere Hour of Power reis. Ontmoetingen in de Crystal Cathedral. Ze hebben notabene samen gezongen met het koor van de Crystal Cathedral onder leiding van Don Noemen. Het was een fantastische reis. En voor mensen die niet zo ver willen of kunnen reizen, is er een bijzondere cruise. En alle informatie staat op onze website. Misschien gaat u mee. Hartstikke leuk, dan ontmoet u de leiding van Hour of Power. Mooie muzici, goede toespraken, terwijl je al varend geniet van de omgeving en van elkaar. Ik wens iedereen een hele mooie vaderdag toe. En als je verdriet hebt omdat je vader kwijt bent, of niet een echte relatie hebt met je vader, dan is er nog altijd God die je vader wil zijn. Ik hoop tot volgende week. Our cry, keep.